The song is Mimi by Stephen Pigram, the album Wanderer, a few years back now. And it's chosen by my guest this morning. And here's a question for you. Would you give up your urban life to move to a remote Aboriginal community? Well, author, poet, academic Kevin Brophy did just that. And the result, a new book of poems, A Compelling Sense of Place Too. Kevin, welcome.
Hello, Jonathan.
Tell us about that Stephen Pigram song.
Well, while we were in the remote community of Mullen on the edge of the Great Sandy Desert in Western Australia, occasionally we would fly out. Often flying out is the only way to get out. Mm. And the destinations would be either Broome or Kununurra. And in September 2016, we were in Kununurra for the Kimberley Writers Festival. While we were there, we went to see Stephen Pigram and Mark Atkins and others on tour singing, and then later had a bit of a party with them, and Stephen continued to play his guitar all night.
It's the Pigram family, of course, a wonderful family from that northern Kimberley Broome part of the world. It's a very tropical feel, that music.
And, it does have a tropical feel, yeah.
A watery coastal feel, which is very distinct from the place we're going to, Mullen, which is middle of the country.
Yes. Stephen is a Broome-based artist, and hence, that tropical feel, that seaside feel to some of his music.
Tell us about Mullen and how you came to be there. I mean, tell us where it is to begin.
Mullen, I had no idea where it was, and I had no idea of the Kimberley geography. I'd heard of places like Fitzroy Crossing and Halls Creek and Broome, but I had no fixed idea in my head of where they were in Australia, except that they were a long way away. Occasionally, my father used to like to reminisce about his time in Darwin in the Second World War. Mm. Whenever Halls Creek was mentioned, he'd say, I was lucky never to get to Halls Creek, because that's where the prison army was for misbehaving soldiers. Yeah. We were 4.5 hours drive south of Halls Creek off the Tanami track at the end of an even smaller track past a sometimes infamous and terrifically interesting place called Belgo. We were beyond Belgo into the desert, beside Lake Gregory, which in the local Wurundjeri language is Lake Barugul.
Now, that lake is an extraordinary story in itself, and the return of people to that lake and the return of people to their country in Mullen had a great effect on that little piece of geography.
Yes. Belgo, the nearest town to Mullen, was a mission, and as in most missions, people from various language groups and various family groups were brought together, and that's sometimes a recipe for the Nulla Nullas coming out and lots of disputes happening. Mm. So in 1977, I think, or around 79, a group of people who had always been connected to Lake Barugul went back down to live beside the lake. And in the time they'd been away, the lake had dried up when they returned. The water returned to the lake. And in fact, the lake flooded, I think, in the early 1980s. And these people, the Wurundjeri-speaking people, have many Dreamtime stories connected to the lake. And the lake is a creation site. Most things in the world, it seems to me, originated in that lake. There's a great story of the first man and the first woman emerging from that lake.
And what an extraordinary place for you as a white man from southeastern Australia to end up.
Yes, I was completely out of my element.
And far from home.
Far from home, far from my bicycle. Several days' drive from a barista coffee. No smashed avocados. I was there because my partner, Andrea, was offered a 2-year teaching job. And Andrea is a skilled literacy expert. And she spent 2 years there in the primary school teaching reading skills to the children. And I was a volunteer in the school. I worked remotely part-time at the University of Melbourne where I was employed, and for the rest of the time I was a volunteer in the school.
Did it surprise you?
Nearly everything about that environment surprised me, and it's difficult to know where to start when you're talking about it.
Maybe start with your reception from the people there as you walked in.
Yes. The people there are very, you might say, relaxed, laconic, laid back about life, but as in most small communities, there's a lot of politics. We are the outsiders, and the way the community runs is a mystery to us. But after some time there, one of the women came up to us and said, would you like to come to the lake and be mudded? And this is an important moment. being mudded at the lake means that you can in fact swim at the lake and you won't be in danger of becoming infected or sick or dying from contact with the serpent that the lake represents. The lake is in a serpent-like shape, and there is a serpent, a dreamtime serpent at the lake. So being mudded introduced us to the environment and made the environment safe for us.
And that must be a sign of welcome.
Yes, it was. It was definitely a sign of welcome, and it was a fascinating experience. I grew up as a Catholic, and Catholics love ritual. It might seem a very primitive ritual to be covered in mud and then be invited to wash the mud off your body in the lake. But it's no different, really, to the kinds of rituals that go on in the Vatican in Rome, in perhaps the most sophisticated city in the world.
Yes.
They're just as deep, just as meaningful, and just as connected to a spiritual life.
Your baptism, as it were.
Yes, yes.
Now, you spent your time quite industriously. I mean, and tell us about the project that you set yourself.
While I was there, I set myself the task of writing a poem a day. I'm a fairly slow worker usually, but it was a terrific discipline to write a poem a day because poetry involves all of the senses. And in a way, it kept me awake and it woke me up. It made me look and look again at those amazing sunsets that happen out there, at the incredible flatness of the landscape, the colours of the spinifex, the redness of the dirt. A very short walk beyond, isn't really a town because there are no named roads. There are a few tracks and there's about 50 houses dotted around an area in the middle of the desert. But a short walk from that takes you to two different places, and two utterly different places. One is the wrecked car yard, which is as large as the community, just an area of completely wrecked cars. And there's a story behind that too. A story connected with remoteness and the virtual impossibility of getting tradespeople into that area. And even if you can, the costliness of having a tradesperson in the community. So what happens to cars? Cars get abandoned. Not unusual to drive for the first hour and a half out of Mullen and pass half a dozen abandoned cars. So that's one place.
Yes.
The other place you could walk to equally quickly just outside town is the cemetery. And the cemetery was fascinating to me. It was simple wooden crosses on earth mounds. And then sometimes on the earth cross, the lid of a paint tin was nailed. And with texta, people had written down the genealogy of the person and this connection to family. This is what Stephen Pigram's song is about. It's about his grandmother and her connection to the land. And this knowledge of genealogy is so fundamental and important to relationships there. And in this desert, the mounds were covered in plastic flowers. So there was this burst of colour through this cemetery that on the one hand might be kitsch, but on the other hand was extremely poignant and extremely moving.
How did this change your way of thinking? I mean, your sort of internal world. How did that shift in your time in Mullen?
I had to slow down. What I realised was that white people like to try to get things done, even if they are unimportant and trivial in the long run. Just one example, Andrea, my partner, applied for as many grants as she could apply for when she was at the school. And she was always successful in getting these grants to assist the community and to assist the children. There was a lot of work involved in applying for these grants because most of the community is not literate. So how do you demonstrate that you have the support of the local people and that they've been consulted? The only way you can do that is to video them talking and then send the videos in to the granting bodies. And that sounds simple, but it's absolutely not simple in a situation where there's no internet most of the time. Eventually, Mullen, surprisingly enough, was shortlisted for the Tidy Towns Award.
That's wonderful.
Yes. So in their naivety, they sent us this big metal placard to put out the front of the town saying, "Welcome to Mullen, finalist in the 2016 Tidy Towns Award." So we went to the local ranger and we said, "Look, we've got this placard. Do you want to put it up?" And at that time, the only placard that you would see as you drove into Mullen over a little rise in the landscape, then dipping down into Mullen, was a handwritten sign. And most signs are written on car bonnets, and then the car bonnet is stood up in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And most road signs are car bonnets that are just standing up in the desert. And the bonnet said, "No killers." This was very puzzling to me.
Tidy town fatalist.
So I had to ask them, "But what does that sign outside town mean, no killers?" And they said, "Oh, the killers are the wild cattle that we go out and hunt and then bring back and share among ourselves. But we don't want outsiders coming in to hunt our wild cattle that are out there in the Spinifex." So we said to the ranger, "Can we put this Tidy Towns placard up?" And he said, "Yes, put it in the back of my tray on my Toyota." So we put it in the back of the tray, and his dog sat on top of it. And several weeks later, it was still there. And several weeks after that, it was still there. And then we began asking, is it going to go up? And then eventually we were told, "Oh, well, there's a committee that runs the town, and there has to be a meeting, and it will be discussed." In my white fella way, I said, "Well, who's the chairperson, and can I see him after the meeting?" I said, "Well, okay, you can go and see." So they gave me the name of the chairperson. And after another length of time, when I thought the meeting must have happened, I went to talk to him, and he said, "Oh, it's very difficult. We have to talk a bit more. You'll have to wait." And then more time went past. And then I realised, both of us realised, Andrea and I realised, it was not important. Mm. In fact, it was fairly silly. And from their point of view, I could see how unconnected to what's really happening in the place that whole project was.
Different ways of doing things. It is a world away. But Kevin, you returned, and you have a book of poems to show for that experience, as well as, I imagine, a rich internal treasury. Thank you so much for taking us to Mullen.
Oh, you're welcome, Jonathan. I'm looking forward to going back there and reconnecting with those people.
Kevin Brophy is a Melbourne-based academic and writer, but he will be returning to Mullen on the edge of the great sandy desert of Western Australia. His book of poems written in that community, One a Day, was his task. That book is Look at the Lake, and that is out now in shops. And this is Blueprint here on RN.